Romans chapter 5. You know, the Bible says, as in all Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, Adam, the first Adam, was given dominion over the earth, and his children, by the way. It's just that he gave it away, right? The second Adam was also given dominion over the earth, and his children too, but he didn't give it away. It's just that a lot of his children aren't receiving it by faith, this dominion that the Lord gave us. Verse 15, how about that? It says, but not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. And not as though one that sinned, so is the gift. As through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one unto condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses unto justification. For if by the trespass of the one, death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Jesus. See, the Lord ordained that his people would reign in life. And it's not because of our great ability or power or wisdom or even sinlessness. It's because of what Jesus did at the cross that we have this authority to reign in life. It's a wonderful thing to realize, and I don't think any of us here realize that to the extent we should, the dominion that God has really given to us over this earth. You know? And we never will realize it unless we reach out and stretch out our faith and begin to exercise this dominion and see things change around us, you see. We have this authority, the authority that Jesus had, to exercise this authority. The Bible says, let me show you something in Revelation chapter 5. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 10, I'd be interested in seeing what some of your Bibles say here, if you've got anything that's really strangely different. I already know what the King James says. And he made us them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. This isn't in the next life. This isn't even after the tribulation. He says, and they reign upon the earth. I know what the King James says, we shall reign, which is totally wrong. And it's not according to any of the manuscripts. It's not according to numerics. I think maybe they had a problem writing what was clearly stated there because of their theology. But the point is, it says, they reign upon the earth. Unto our God a kingdom and priests. They reign upon the earth. You know what? We have the authority to reign as Jesus reigned. He exercised dominion in his kingdom. Not the kind of dominion that some people want. Some people want dominion. Actually, some people would like to have a dominion like the Pharisees had. You know. But Jesus exercised dominion over God's creation. He didn't exercise dominion over people who wanted to put to death his flesh. You understand what I'm saying? We go through many things in order to put to death our flesh. That's what the world was created for, to bring us into sonship. But even while the world is putting to death the old man, I'm not talking about the body, I'm talking about the flesh, the nature of the old man. Even while the world around us is spiritually putting us on our cross, we have to exercise dominion. Jesus exercised dominion, but he resisted not the evil. He turned the other cheek. At the same time the world was crucifying his old nature, his spiritual man was exercising dominion and delivering this world from the curse. He went everywhere doing that, delivering this world from the curse. So you can't get mixed up on where this dominion has authority and when it doesn't have authority. We don't want authority to let the old man live. We don't want to keep our old life. We want our new life. And Jesus said, except you lose your life, you won't gain your life, right? So this dominion that God has given to us is the same kind of dominion that Jesus had. We have been given this dominion. Some people say that Jesus had this dominion because he was the Son of God. But that's not true. That's not what Jesus himself said. He didn't agree with that. The dominion that Jesus, look in John chapter 5 and verse 27. I'm going to show you why Jesus always called himself the Son of Man. You know why he called himself the Son of Man? Remember, they didn't have the New Testament when Jesus was administering God's salvation in his day. They had the Old Testament. And Jesus always did things to fulfill the Old Testament, didn't he? The scripture might be fulfilled, he said over and over. You know, he did things in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he called himself the Son of Man. I'm sure that some of these Jews caught on to what he was saying, because they heard that word in the Old Testament, the Son of Man. See? Well, Jesus said right here, before I go on to that, he said in verse 27, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is Son of Man. Jesus didn't have authority to execute judgment because he was the Son of God. He had authority to execute judgment because he is Son of Man. See, what is he talking about? Well, first of all, do you know that God gave authority to execute judgment on this earth to man? The Bible says so. He gave it to man. Not only did Jesus turn to his disciples and tell them things like, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And whosoever be of you who speaks to this mountain and commands it to be thrown into the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, he's going to have what he says. See, this kind of authority Jesus passed on to his disciples. But it's not because they were sons of God that they had authority to exercise this authority. It's because they were sons of men that had authority. Why is that? Because that's who God gave this authority to. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, we'll start in verse 5. For not unto angels did he subject the inhabited earth. Did you notice that? That's what it says in the original. Some of you have a footnote, a Greek footnote. It says the inhabited earth. 2 and 5. Hebrews 2 and 5. For not unto angels did he subject the inhabited earth. Not the world to come. If your Bible says that, it's wrong. Because you got a Greek footnote. Your Bible has this Greek footnote. The inhabited earth. He didn't put the inhabited earth under the authority of the angels. Who did he put it under? He put it under Adam. The Bible says so. He gave this authority unto Adam. For instance, hold your finger there and let's go over to Genesis chapter 1 and say verse 26. Yep, that's what I'm going to get to that. I just wanted to point out to you before I went on that Adam was the one who was given this authority, not the angels. Okay? In fact, one angel usurped this authority, didn't he? That's exactly right. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. There it is. Let them, not just Adam, them, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That means to have dominion over it. Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Adam and his children were to have this dominion over every living thing on the earth. Adam lost that dominion. He actually gave it away. Because whosoever servants you are, Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey. That's what happened to Adam right there. This is still true today. His servants you are whom you obey. That was Romans 6 and 16. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And I might say whether unto the devil or unto the Lord. Because it doesn't make any difference. His servants you are whom you obey. He obeyed. He became the servant of unrighteousness, the servant of sin, and the servant of the devil. And the devil ruled over him. The curse ruled over him. The devil through the curse ruled over him. Okay? Okay? But the first Adam failed and the second one didn't. You see? Hebrews, go back to Hebrews now. Chapter 2, verse 6. But one hath somewhere testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him. Now you see, this is a quote from the Old Testament. Right? This is a quote from Psalm chapter 8 in the Old Testament. When Jesus said, son of man, and he kept relating that he was the son of man to these Jews, I'm sure that a few of them caught on. Actually, what he was saying, he was applying himself to this verse. He was saying he was the son of man in this verse. Which is true because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that he was the second Adam. We know that this verse was spoken of both Adam and the second Adam. But Jesus was telling these Jews that he was the son of man. Well, notice that the Lord didn't just give authority to Adam. He gave authority to his seed. Them dominion over the earth, you see. It wasn't just Adam that he gave his authority to. Adam had the authority to pass his authority on to his children, except when Adam fell under the dominion of the devil, he lost it. But the second Adam came and overcame. So this, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, this is talking about Jesus and his children, just as much as it's talking about Adam and his children. Okay? But remember, everybody thinks that Jesus did his great and wondrous works because he was the Son of God. God didn't give that authority to the Son of God. He gave that authority to the Son of Man. See, some people, they cop out. Oh, well, Jesus just did that because he was the Son of God. But he passed on the same authority to his disciples, who were truly Son of God, too. They weren't born Son of God. They had to be reborn sons of God. But they were sons of men. That's why he passed it on to them. Because God gave dominion over the earth to the sons of men. Okay? So, the question is, of course, makes a lot of sense. Why are you mindful of man? And why do you visit the Son of Man? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. Crowned him. Crowned him. That means man is a king on this earth. Was meant to be a king on this earth. You crowned him with glory and honor. And it's set him over the work or works of thy hand. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, of course, when he... Absolutely, wasn't it true? It was true. It was true. He was... Jesus came down here and took on the likeness of sinful flesh, and any angel in heaven had ability and had... power that was not limited by flesh. See, any angel in heaven. Jesus was limited by flesh. The Bible says he got tired, went to sleep, you know. He hungered, he thirsted. Now every human weakness he had is even was tempted in all points, like as we, yet he didn't give in to it sin. Okay? So that's the reason Jesus had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh and become as a man, is because God wanted him to have this dominion and to pass it on to his spiritual children. The Bible says, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Think about that. When Adam died, all of the seed of mankind was in him, and they died too. But when Jesus died and was resurrected, all of the seed of the sons of God was in him, because he was the Word of God. And the Word of God is the seed that the sower went forth and sowed, and the word seed there is sperma. So the seed of all of his children was in him when he was resurrected. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Everybody who's in Christ is resurrected, okay? Resurrected above sin, to die no more, you know. What we're finding out down here is who it is that was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, right? In Adam, everybody that was in Adam was chosen before the foundation of the world to be in Adam. The same with Christ, you see. They were chosen to be in Adam. That doesn't mean they're going to be saved. It means they were born men, right? But he said, thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. Everything was put under the feet of Jesus. Let me read on. We'll come back to that. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. Do you believe that? The Son of Man. There's nothing that is not subject unto him. Do you realize that? Not just Jesus. Them. Jesus the seed. See, there are people of God who have learned to exercise dominion over many things. And what's going to happen in the end time is God's people are going to enter into more and more dominion. It says, they reign upon the earth. Jesus didn't give us an example of what the Son of God could do. He gave us an example of what man was sent to do. He showed us. He gave us an example of exercising dominion over the earth. He gave us that authority. If we don't know it and we don't believe it, we'll never, you know, stretch out our faith more and more to enter into it. But he gave us authority. These people we prayed for today, there's going to be an answer to all these prayers we prayed today. The reason there's going to be an answer is we exercised authority here. God didn't tell us to ask him to do this. Jesus didn't tell his disciples, ask me to do this. He sent his disciples and gave them authority to do this. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Go make disciples. Go heal the sick. Go cast out devils. Raise the dead. Freely you have received. Freely give. Freely you have received. That's right. He just gave them authority to do this. They received this authority. Do this. Freely give. Don't charge anybody anything. Just give it to them, right? Freely you have received. Freely give. And that's our authority from the Lord. The Great Commission has been passed on to us from the Lord. He didn't say for us to turn around and ask him to do it. It's not what he said at all. He said, thou dost put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. But now we see not yet all things subject to him. Listen, he said, it's already been made subject. We just don't see it happening. You see what he's talking about? He's not saying it hadn't been made subject yet. He says, we don't see it done yet. There's a difference. It's already been subject. If you understand your authority and you begin to exercise your authority over the curse, you'll see things happen. We're not seeing this great dominion that God gave subject, but just in little places here and there, people begin to exercise the authority that God gave them, exercise their dominion that they were crowned with. It says in Brother, verses a little further up here. But we're going to see this dominion exercised more and more. But when people begin to take this seriously and begin to stretch their faith for things they've never stretched out their faith for, and they're going to get this thing that's coming down the road, this wilderness experience, is going to thrust many people into a position of need. Not only that, it's going to thrust them into a position where they're going to be fellowshipping with other disciples of other religions, which is the place where God's going to destroy religion. He's going to bring people into close fellowship with people who have exercised their faith in other areas, you know, other religious groups, you see. And this dominion is going to come forth because the need is going to be there so bad. that people are going to put their trust in God, and they're going to come into this dominion. But we don't have to wait. It says he didn't leave anything that wasn't subject. It's the dominion is already there. Begin to exercise it now for everything. God wants you to exercise your dominion over everything. God has given you this dominion. He wants you to do it. And he didn't, remember the first verse we read in Romans chapter 5. It's not because you're perfect that you get this dominion. It's because you are a disciple of Christ. That's true. But nobody who exercises this dominion is perfect. Yeah. No, it says, Son of Man. Are you a son of man? Right. Pain. Absolutely. Yeah. That's dominion, sure. And by the way, there's other things that God calls beasts that are going to be tamed by man. He's talking about these spiritual beasts in the book of Revelation. The Bible tells you who's going to conquer them in Daniel. The saints of the Most High are going to be given dominion. And they're going to take away his kingdom. Who? Beast. They're going to take away his dominion. That's right. You just do it.
Yeah.
Look at verse 9. But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Who's going to be crowned with glory now? All of his sons, right? To make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing thy praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. So, this dominion is passed on from Jesus to his children, who are also sons of men. Okay. You noticed... Well, if you look in, for instance, Psalm chapter 8, you see where this came from. He's again talking about the dominion of God's children. Psalm chapter 8. We're sons of God through God the Father. We're sons of man through Adam. Yeah. This man here came from Adam. Okay? But that's who God gave dominion over the earth. He didn't take it back. Adam gave it to the devil. Who took it back from the devil? Jesus did. Okay. How do we know, how can we find out that this is true? The only way is by beginning to exercise the authority God gave you over everything. Well, yeah, he also gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the disciples. Not just Peter. No, if you go back and read it, it's the disciples. And to us, by the way, we got the keys. The binding and loosing. That's what it means, to bind and loose. We have the authority to open the doors and to close the doors. We don't have any authority outside of God. Our authority comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In fact, I'm going to read you a little testimony here in a minute. I think you'll really be impressed with it. Look at Psalm 8 and verse 2. And don't have to be grown up. I mean, children can exercise it. Sometimes they can exercise it better than grown-ups can. They don't have all the baggage. The children can exercise this authority. Look what he says. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Isn't that something? God can use little children to do this. And not just physical little children, but children in the Lord. But here's what he's talking about. Read on. It says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what's man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him but a little lower than Elohim, which is used for angels and God. Usually it's translated God here, right? And crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Under his feet. Under his feet. Well, just hold on, okay? I'm going to prove to you it's not just Jesus, okay? All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Did you ever hear that was talking about Jesus? It was spoken about Adam. This was spoken about Adam. Okay? We just happen to know that Jesus was the Son of Man, and also that Paul preaches that it was Jesus over in Hebrews. But if you didn't have Hebrews, you'd immediately know that this was talking about Adam. Adam was given this dominion, okay? And his children. He said them. Did you notice the first few verses of it? Them and his children. Birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Okay. So he put everything under the feet of Adam and his children. Are you one of Adam's children? Yes. We're also one of Jesus' children. One of God's children. We're God men. Because our spirit man is born of God and is the Son of God. And our carnal man is, of course, born through our physical parents all the way back to Adam. Right? Okay? But he said he put all this dominion under their feet. They lost it because Adam sinned. But listen, our sins were taken away. The dominion, see, we were sold unto sin, the Bible says. We became bondservants of sin. Look in Romans chapter 6, right where we left a while ago. Look what Romans chapter 6 says. We've been taken out from under that dominion now. It doesn't rule over us anymore. Neither does darkness rule over us anymore. It ruled over Adam, but it doesn't rule over us. If you believe the gospel, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What had dominion over Adam? Sin through the devil, right? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And he goes on to say you are servants of those that you obey. In verse 17, he said you are made free from sin. Colossians chapter 1, he says he delivered you out of the power of darkness. All the things that the Bible says about Adam, we've been delivered of. If you believe it. You have to believe it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Okay? We have to know that we have this dominion. Not because we're perfect, but because of what Jesus did, we have this dominion. Try it in things that don't make any difference. Try it. I mean, I'm not saying just try it, but exercise faith. Go out and do it and exercise faith. Exercise dominion over things. Over sickness in your family. You know, over curses in your yard, in your house, over things. Do it. You know what you'll be rejoicing if you do it. And you stand in faith and do it. You're gonna be rejoicing because you're gonna see that what I'm saying is true. There are people all over the world, Christians all over the world, who've exercised dominion in so many different ways, you know. We've heard testimonies here about the dead being resurrected and the healing of cars and the healing of carburetors and the healing of refrigerators and the running the moles out of the yard and the red ants out of the yard and so many testimonies. All of that is not because somebody's perfect. It's because of what Jesus did at the cross. He gave us back the dominion that Adam lost. That's what he came to restore. He was the second Adam. He came to restore that dominion, okay? And if you can't accept it that way, that all of this dominion has been put under our feet, then you ought to be able to accept it this way. In Ephesians, sure, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 21. You'll recognize that it is talking about Jesus. You remember what happened to Jesus? How that he talked about the dominion that had been given him, then he turned to the disciples and said, go ye therefore. He turned and he gave this dominion to his disciples. Here it says the same thing. Ephesians 1 and 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. That's total authority. That's what Jesus said. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Our Father's been given authority. Our spiritual Father's been given this authority, and He's passed it on to His children. Look, verse 22. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. And He gave Him to be the head. So you know He's talking about His body here. He's talking about His corporate body here. He's not talking about His physical body. God gave all things to be in subjection under the feet of the body of Jesus. He gave Him to be the head. And He says, over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. So, in this case, you can see that even if you are the feet of the body of Jesus, you have dominion over everything. You see that? This dominion is not when you're not abiding in the body. It's when you are abiding in the body that this dominion is yours. You see that? It's being in the body that gives you this dominion. Because the other folks out there that haven't come into the body of the resurrected Christ, of the second Adam, they lost their dominion just when Adam lost his. They still don't have that dominion. Okay? The only thing is, we have to be educated into understanding that we have this dominion. From that verse, you can see plainly that that dominion's been given to us. Okay? Right. That's right. This dominion starts here, but continues for eternity. It starts over the earth. The earth was just the training ground, you understand, for this dominion. Here the Lord teaches us how to be kings over His creation. In the next world, or in the age to come, we're still going to have this dominion. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. No, excuse me. I'm going to start verse... 1 Corinthians 6, we'll start in verse 1, okay? It says, dare any of you, having a matter against his neighbor, go to law before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Or know you not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you have to judge things pertaining to this life, if then ye have to judge things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are of no account in the church? I say this to move you to shame. How much more the things that pertain to this life? If we've got authority to judge angels in the next life, how much more do we have authority to judge in this life? Now, he's not talking about judging your brother or judging the... You know, that's not what he's talking about. You know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord pointed out to me one time that that's a command. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, our work here is to bring God's kingdom down, to manifest His kingdom in the earth. In fact, at the time when the Bible says that the saints are going to receive the kingdom and they're going to be making war on the beast, he's going to be making war on them, and they're going to be calling down fire out of heaven and doing these things, you know? Right after that, at the last trump, it says the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who did that? You say, God. That's right. But who did He do it through? The Bible gives credit to the saints. That's who the Bible gives credit to. For instance, in Daniel chapter 7, and I might show you a few other places if we get time, but Daniel chapter 7 is a really good one. Verse 26. It's talking about the beast and his kingdom. 7:26. But the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion. That's the beast's dominion. To consume and to destroy it unto the end. See, God's people are going to be running around here destroying the devil's kingdom. Destroying the beast's kingdom. Daniel 7:26. to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now, you say, why does it say that? Well, listen, that spiritual dominion that Jesus exercised and passed on to his disciples to exercise is going to become even greater at the end of time. The reason being is because we're going to come into physical dominion too. See, the Pharisees had dominion over the people of God. Jesus even told them, he said, don't do what they do, but obey them. When they sit in the seat of Moses, you obey what they tell you, but don't do what they do. Remember when he said that? He gave them physical dominion over the people of God. He went out there and had dominion over the curse, over the devil's kingdom. He was destroying the works of the devil everywhere he went. They had no kind of authority like that. They had only physical authority, and he had spiritual authority, you see. Okay? But in the end of time, we're going to take physical, personal authority even over the physical matters, like now the government does. They're not going to retain that authority. Their kingdom's going to fall. We're going to have authority, all authority. Physical, spiritual, and everything. We're going to reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Just for a beginning. Just for a starter. You see. The dominion that right now God permits the world to have, and the devil as the god of this world to have through the governments, we're going to get that too. Right now we have to be satisfied to exercise dominion over these governments secondhand. Because we have authority to exercise dominion over these governments secondhand, not firsthand. But pretty soon they're going to be pushed off the throne physically, and we're going to sit on that one too. See what I'm talking about? There's a dominion coming that's both physical and spiritual. Remember I told you, we don't have dominion to not go to the cross. Jesus exercised dominion while he was going to the cross. They had been given authority to crucify his flesh. He had been given authority to destroy the devil's kingdom. The beast had been given authority by Ahasuerus. Haman had been given authority by Ahasuerus to destroy the people of God. But Esther, the bride, had been given authority to save the people of God. At the same time, one authority wasn't taken away when the other one was given. They were both given that authority at the same time. Because the king's authority couldn't be annulled in anything. Okay, but we're coming to the end when all authority is going to be given to us. We have been given authority even through Adam that he lost. It's been restored through Jesus Christ over all the works of God's hands. Ultimately, we're going to see that over everything that God created. Right now, we need to start exercising that authority, because all the way up to the end, we're going to see it manifested more and more and more and more and more until there is total dominion in the earth. Total dominion. No, he always resisted the evil one. He didn't resist men who were evil. So we've been given our number one job here is to lose our life. If you don't lose your life, you don't gain your life. Well, the world is in total cooperation with that. They're there to help us to lose our life. They're our enemies to lose our life. Jesus didn't resist men who took physical authority over him. He didn't resist them. Okay? Until he died. I believe this. I believe that when you've died to self, you've given up your life to God, there's going to come a time in the tribulation period, for instance, when God's going to take grace away from the Gentiles. He's going to permit Christians at that time to exercise authority over these people. Elijah calling down fire out of heaven, you know. Stopping the rain for 3.5 years, you know. All these things are examples of that. To exercise dominion over people. To destroy the kingdom of the beast, you see. From here to the end, we're going to see the spiritual authority and the physical authority manifested more and more until this world becomes God's kingdom. He personally takes control. You know, what I'm saying, personal control is different than control by proxy. God still runs everything, but he puts somebody on that throne that's a pagan, and he's going to use him to do what he wants to do. Well, that guy's not going to stay there. He's running this world by proxy. He's running this world through other vessels. And we're coming to the time when he's not going to do that anymore. He's going to personally take control. He's always had control, but he's going to personally take control. That's the only difference in the authority. Okay? This dominion that's been given to us, we shouldn't be deceived. It's ours. It's ours now. As children of Jesus Christ, it's ours now. Look at Micah chapter 4. If you don't know where that is, it's on page 792. It's right after Jonah. Right before Nahum. They call them the minor prophets. It's about this many pages from the end of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 4. Micah 4 and verse 6. 792 in my book. It's right after Jonah and right before Nahum. It's only about maybe 10, 8 or 10 pages from the end of the Old Testament. Okay. My goodness, you people reading your Bible? Y'all better find out what's in there. Verse 6. I ain't waiting on y'all. Verse 6. Micah 4 and 6. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble that which is lame, will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off, a strong nation. He's talking about a spiritual nation here, by the way, folks. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, and henceforth forever. We're talking about the Mount Zion that's forever. We're not talking about that one over there in the Middle East, okay? This is the Mount Zion that's forever. He's going to reign over them, okay? And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The former dominion. Just as at one time Jerusalem ruled the known world. Yeah, I'm going there. It says, just like the Jerusalem that at one time ruled the known world, this new Jerusalem is going to rule the known world. The former dominion is going to come. God is going to rule through his people who live in Zion. Okay? Verse 9. Now why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of thee as a woman in travail? In other words, the people of God aren't obviously living up to their stature that's been given to them, right? Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shall dwell in the field, and shall come even unto Babylon. See, even though this dominion had been given to Zion, she went, first of all, was taken captive to Babylon. Okay, just like the religious people, the Christians, have been taken captive to apostate religion. That's Babylon. There shalt thou be rescued. See, God's fixing to do this. This is the point in history that we're in. God is about to rescue his people out of Babylon, out of the hands of religious apostasy. There will the Lord redeem thee with the hand of thine enemies. See that, how God's going to do it? The enemies came and delivered God's people out of Babylon. Right? And now many nations are assembled against thee that say, let her be defiled. Let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he hath gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. The nations he's talking about. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. You see something? The people of God are going to destroy the beast kingdom. The beast kingdom is not a man. The beast kingdom is all of the people on the face of the earth whose spirit doesn't confess, according to 1 John chapter 4, that Jesus Christ is come in that flesh. That's the beast kingdom. Who's going to destroy that kingdom? It is a mighty kingdom. But there's only two kingdoms in the earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the beast. There's only two men in the earth, Christ and the Antichrist. There's only two corporate men in all the earth. Okay? What the Lord's telling us is that Zion is going to exercise and bring God's people into this dominion and destroy all the nations that come against it. That's what it says right there. You believe it? I tell you what, we've got to start exercising that dominion now. That's what the Lord wants to teach us right now. He wants to show us that even though we aren't perfect, we've been given this right and this authority. Adam wasn't a perfect man. He was a natural man, the Bible says. Very ignorant concerning many things he was ignorant of. He wasn't perfect. I mean, he walked around naked, you know. Not that that was sin in those days, because he was in the dispensation of innocence. But he didn't have the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't even have that knowledge. But he was innocent. And God gave him this dominion. Wasn't perfect. God gave him this dominion. You realize you can be innocent in God? Even a baby in God. Not knowing a lot of knowledge of good and evil. And yet this dominion is yours. You see what I'm talking about? Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking, well, I've got to get perfect before I can exercise this dominion. No, that's not true. I'll say this now. Sin always hinders this, because you've got no boldness towards God if you've got sin in your life, right? So the Bible tells us to confess our sins, because He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. I think Samson was a really good example. Let's look at Judges chapter 16. You know what Samson had? He had dominion. That's what he had. Dominion. God gave him dominion. Now, Samson was ignorant. He was ignorant of a lot of things. Okay? And he makes big mistakes. Listen, how many mistakes did Samson make while he was exercising his dominion? He made lots of them, didn't he? He sure was, in a lot of ways. Okay? But God gave him his dominion. Okay? He ultimately lost the dominion because he just totally lost his submission to God. Right? What was the secret of Samson's power? Well, that's true. But I'm talking about physically. In the Old Testament, it tells us that the secret was his long hair. Right? His long hair. And as soon as he lost his long hair, he lost his power. Okay. Samson was not a big muscle-bound fellow. The Bible says, for instance, in Judges 16 and verse 17, that if you shaved his head, he'd be like any other man. Not a Charles Atlas or a, you know, be just like any other man. They wanted to know what was the secret of his power, not how did you get your big muscles. They didn't ask him that. They weren't interested in that. They knew that wasn't possible. So he wasn't a big muscular fellow. He was just a man. Sometimes that happens today too, don't we? Sometimes we have that problem today too, don't we? But Samson was given the dominion, okay? And when he lost his submission to God, he ultimately lost his dominion. When his hair started growing back out, first of all, I have to point out to you that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the long hair was given to the woman as a sign of her submission. That's why we know that this is talking about submission. The long hair was given to the woman as a sign of her submission to her husband. Who is our husband? The Lord is our husband. So if we have long hair, that's a sign of submission. I'm not suggesting that men have long hair, but this was a sign in the Old Testament. It was a symbol in the Old Testament. The Bible even says it's a shame that men have long hair, and I believe that. But Samson had long hair as a Nazarite. One who took the Nazarite vow. He had long hair because you couldn't cut your hair.
But it was a sign of power. Well, like I said, he used this as a type and a shadow in the Old Testament. And you don't bring types and shadows over literally ever into the New Testament. You have to see what it's a type and shadow of. It's a parable, and you got to read the parable, okay? In the New Testament, if the woman's long hair was given her as a sign of her submission to her husband, then obviously the husband shouldn't have long hair, because the Bible says he is made in the image of God. That's what it says. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't want to get too distracted here from the point. The point is, this great dominion was given to Samson from the Lord, and he ultimately lost it because he lost his submission to the Lord. What happened to Adam? Same thing. But we don't want to get overbalanced here. You can think, well, you got to be perfect. Nobody ever exercised dominion in the earth, for God was perfect, including Samson. Okay? But he refused and ultimately refused the dominion of the Lord over him, and he ultimately lost the dominion that he had over the earth. Okay? So we have to keep that in mind. You know, but like I said, even the baby Christian who has not much of a knowledge of good and evil, but is innocent in God's eyes, if he's doing what he knows to do, that baby has this authority. They have this authority. You have to be educated to know that you have this authority, because if you don't know it, you can't exercise faith to do it. All authority comes from exercising faith. We have to exercise faith to do this. Okay? So, all this dominion was given back to us through the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Look at Zechariah. I'm going to read you a testimony. A testimony from Adam. How about that? Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3. You know where Zechariah is? Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew. Just about three pages from the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah 10, verse 3. Mine anger is kindled against the shepherd, and I will punish the he-goat. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock. Did you notice that here he's got a flock of sheep and there's a goat leading them? You think that ever happens? Let me tell you, it does. It happens all the time. Read the Bible. That's all that's happening today. There's a goat leading God's sheep called the he-goat. Mine anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the he-goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his goodly horse in the battle. From him shall come forth the cornerstone. From who? Judah? Judah. The cornerstone? Who is that? Jesus. And from him the nail. Interesting, isn't it? From Judah came not only the cornerstone, but the nail. Not only Jesus, but the nail. They put him on the cross. And from him, the battle bow. And from him, every ruler together. Every ruler together. All the rulers that God is making, spiritually speaking, they're from the tribe of Judah. You know why? Because our father is from the tribe of Judah. Didn't he? And he sowed the seed. So we're children of our father. We are rulers. You see that? Anybody see what I'm talking about? Okay. So we're all of the tribe of Judah, scripturally speaking. Of course, in the other parables, that's not true. Because the 12 tribes of Israel are still in the earth today among the Christians. There are 12 tribes, right? Because everybody's not acting like a son of the line of Judah. So that's the truth too, okay? But, you know, we're looking at one type right here. And the type is every ruler is coming from Judah, according to this. Because our Lord, I always took it just to mean the male. Because not only was Jesus from the tribe of Judah, the people that put him on the cross were too. That's right. Interesting, huh? But also every ruler is from them. Verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men, treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets, in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. What's the riders of horses remind you of? Pharaoh's army, that's right. This is what's happening again in type and shadow too. Pharaoh's army is coming after God's people. And God's people are the rulers. God's people ruled at the Red Sea, didn't they? Especially through Moses. They ruled. Now, I'll grant you that some of God's people are like the northern 10 tribes. They're they are worshiping the golden calf. They just don't realize it. They call him Jehovah, but he's really not. But in type here, those who come into their dominion are sons of Judah. If you come into your dominion, you're a son of Judah, spiritually speaking. This dominion's been given to all the people of God. You understand that? Now let me read you a testimony here. Out of this book, it's called The Call. It's by Rick Joyner. Read this testimony, because in vision he was taken to talk to Adam. He talked to the Lord, and he talked to Adam. Now I'll read to you what Adam said to him. Adam now is in the kingdom of heaven, fully manifest son of God. And he said, another man who looked almost exactly like Abel came and stood beside him. He talked to Abel first, okay? I'm Adam, he said, and I was given authority over the earth. But I gave it to the evil one by obeying evil. He now rules in my place, in your place. The earth was given to man, but the evil one has taken it. The authority I lost was restored by the cross. Jesus Christ is the last Adam, and he will soon take his authority and rule. He will rule through mankind because he gave the earth to mankind. Those who live in your times will prepare the earth for him to rule. Please tell me more, I asked, a little surprised to see Adam, but wanting to hear everything he had to say. How do we prepare for him? Love, he said. You must love one another. You must love the earth, and you must love life. My sin released death that now flows as rivers upon the earth. Your love will release rivers of life. When evil reigns, death is stronger than life, and death prevails over life. When righteousness reigns, life prevails, and life is stronger than death. Soon, the life of the Son of God will swallow up the death that was released through my disobedience. It's not just living that you must love, but life. Death is your enemy. You are called to be a messenger of life. When the Lord's people begin to love, he will use them to release his judgments. His judgments are to be desired. The whole world is groaning and travailing as it waits for his judgments. And when they come, the world will learn righteousness. What he is about to do, he will do through his people. And his people will stand as Elijah in the last days. Remember me preaching that? This is God's people, this Moses and Elijah, not Moses and Elijah. Okay. Their words will shut up the heavens or bring rain. This is the first time we've ever found a confirmation to what I preached to you. I never heard it out of another man's mouth in my life until I read this right here. That Moses and Elijah were the two witnesses of the man-child. And Jesus, as the man-child, sent out the two witnesses to do the same thing he did. In the book of Revelation, the man-child is sending out his disciples, who are the two witnesses. That's Moses and Elijah. The Lord told me that. And now he's telling him that. Their words will shut up the heavens or bring rain. They will prophesy earthquakes and famines, and they will come to pass. They will stop famines and earthquakes. When they release armies in the heavens, armies will march on the earth. When they hold back armies, there will be peace. They will decide where he shows mercy and where he shows his wrath. They will decide. They will have this authority because they will love. And those who love will be one with him. This is the thing. Love brings us into unity with God, because God is love, right? What you will see through that door, he's talking about a door that he's about to walk through, okay, is to help prepare you for what he is about to do through his people. I know authority. I also, this is Adam still speaking, I know the responsibility of authority. Because of the great authority that I was given, I am responsible for what has happened to the earth. Even so, the grace of God began to cover me. And God's great redemption will soon swallow up my mistake. Peace will be taken from the earth
but you are called to help restore it. Peace prevails in heaven, and you are called to bring heaven to earth. Those who abide in His presence will know peace and will spread peace. The earth itself will shake and tremble. Times of trouble greater than have ever been known will begin to move across the earth like great waves of the sea. Even so, those who know Him will not be troubled. They will stand before the raging of the seas and say, "Peace, be still," and the seas will calm. Even the least of His little ones will be like a great fortress of peace that will stand through all that is coming. His glory will be revealed to His people first, and then through them. It's going to be revealed to His people first, and then through them. Even the creation will recognize Him in His people and will obey them as it does Him. So God's people are going to exercise dominion over lost people. Not the physical kind of dominion, but the spiritual kind of dominion. Like we did for Pauline right here. Those people don't know what's going on. But we can exercise faith and believe God changed their mind. Doesn't have to do with them. It has to do with dominion, you see. Anything that has to do with us is important to God. So Adam goes on to say, "This is the authority that I had, and it will be given to mankind again. I used my authority to turn paradise into a wilderness. The Lord will use His authority to turn the wilderness into a paradise. This is the authority that He is giving to His people." By the way, He's already given this authority to His people. It's just that very few people are entering into it. See what I'm talking about? "When you heal the sick, that is exercising that authority. When you cast out devils, that is exercising that authority. I used mine wrongly and death came. When His authority is used in righteousness, it will release life. Be careful how you use authority. With authority comes responsibility. You too can use it wrongly, but you will not do this if you love. As all of heaven knows, love never fails. What about the earthquakes, famines, and even wars that you said would be released upon the earth? Won't this be releasing death?" I asked. Adam again, "All the death that is coming upon the world is being allowed to prepare the way of life. Everything that is sown must be reaped. Unless those who have sown evil call upon the cross in spirit and in truth." In other words, you're going to reap all the evil you've sown unless you submit to the cross in spirit and in truth. Okay? Adam goes on, "The army of the cross is about to be released, and it will march in the power of the cross, carrying the offer of mercy to all. Those who reject the mercy of God have rejected life. That is a great responsibility," I said. "Who do we know? How do we know when they have rejected His mercy? Disobedience brought death, and obedience will bring life. When I walked with God, He taught me His ways. As I walked with Him, I began to know Him. You must walk with God and learn of His ways. Your authority is His authority, and you must be one with Him in order to use it. The weapons of His army are not carnal. They are spiritual and much more powerful than any earthly weapons. Your most powerful weapons are truth and love. Even the final judgment of destruction is God's love extended in mercy. When truth spoken in love is rejected, death has been chosen over life. You will understand this as you walk with Him. You will come to understand the Spirit that He has given to you to bring life and not death. There is a time to give men over to reap what they have sown, but you must do all things in obedience. Jesus came to give life. He does not desire for any to perish. And this must be your desire also. For this reason, you must even love your enemies if you are to be trusted with the authority that He wants to give to His people. The time is at hand for the fulfillment of what has been written. His people have prayed for more time, and He gave it to them." Notice that. This was written in 99. "His people have prayed for more time, and He gave it to them. However, few have used it wisely. You have a little more time, but soon the time can no longer be delayed.
The time is near when time itself will seem to speed up. As it is written, when he comes, he will come quickly. However, you are not to fear the times. If you fear him, you do not need to fear anything that is coming upon the earth. All that is about to happen is coming so that his wisdom can prevail on earth, just as it does in heaven. All the evil that was sown in mankind is about to be reaped. Even so, the good that he has sown will also be reaped. We have that Revelation chapter 14, the two harvests. Right? Exactly what he's saying. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than death. He walked to earth to destroy the works of the devil, and he will finish what he has begun. Interesting, huh? The book is very good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, isn't that interesting? He did sum up a few things. But that's The Call by Rick Joyner. It's very good.
That's not the one you just told us.
No, this is the follow-up to that one. It's very good. He wrote the other one first, and this was a continuation of the same vision. Wonderful vision. The Lord really blessed him. The Quest. The Quest and The Call. At any rate, I've read a few books that I've really gotten something out of, and I really enjoyed that. It was a great blessing. Well, you know what? We should all start somewhere. It's really easy for us to just depend upon the world and the world's way of doing things, but it's really good to reach out there and do things if you are determined. It pleases the Lord for us to live from faith. The righteous shall live from faith, which is a radical departure from normal everyday Christian life, is to learn to live from faith. To learn to do things with your faith for no other reason than to learn to grow in the authority of God. You don't have to do that. Nobody has to do that. But it's wise to do that. To learn to grow in the authority of God by exercising faith for things that you normally would just handle in another way. You know, like the world handles it. But you don't have to. Me and Justin prayed a head gasket. The Lord sealed it up just the other day. I mean, that thing, that first car he had, man, it had a hole there. Something. Now, I don't think it was head gasket. I think it was a crack in either the block or the head. And God sealed that thing up. So anyway, God's a big God, but you don't want to let your reason get in your way. Your reason will destroy every bit of this. This is not reasonable. This is not natural. It's supernatural. How's God going to fix up a crack in a block or a crack in a head? You know, when steam is pouring out the tailpipe, you know, how's he going to do that? And you can't reason that naturally. You can't figure how would you plug that up. You don't need natural. I mean, all you got to do is speak through your mouth the command, and it will come to pass. If you believe what you say, according to what Jesus said, you speak to the mountain, it'll be plucked up and thrown in the sea. This is the authority God has given to us. If you can't see it any other way, if you can't see even what I've said here about the dominion given through Adam, it makes no difference. Just look at the promises of Jesus. What did he tell us? A tremendous authority that he put in our hands. And he didn't put the conditions on these like, if you're perfect, did he? In fact, like I was pointing out earlier, he didn't take away the promise. He just said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And he goes on to say, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Still not talking to perfect people here. But he does expect us to be disciples. Yeah. 1 John 3:21. If our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. You know, power, you know, Jesus said, him that overcometh, I will give authority. Him that overcometh, he'll sit down with me in my throne. As I overcame, sat down with my Father in his throne. He gives authority. Spiritually speaking, a person who has authority, they're sitting down in that throne with Jesus, you see. Spiritually speaking, we have the authority that the Lord gave us to rule. They reign upon the earth. He crowned us with glory and honor. Praise the Lord. So what we got to do to enter into this authority is start somewhere. That's right. We have to start somewhere. Especially start in areas that really don't make any difference to you. You know, it makes no difference except that the Lord wants to teach every one of us to exercise his authority. We should start in areas, you know, that don't necessarily, we wouldn't have to do it. There's nothing stopping us from doing it. It's no big thing, you know. But if we do it, it is a big thing because we learn that God honors His Word. And once we learn that, we're going to step out a little further. You know? Each success is laying a foundation for more behind it. We should reach out our faith to command healings and to command. Listen, Jesus wasn't saying, I give this authority to remove mountains just to people who have workings of miracles. That's not true. He didn't say that. This authority was for anybody who had faith. Anybody who had faith. All you got to do is exercise faith. Like I said, there are people of God who have done things that are just totally fantastic. And if they ever told us about it, we probably wouldn't believe it. I saw God change time one time. I'm telling you the truth. I can't tell you exactly how He did that, but He did it. Changed time. Ran into just a book that I read about a year ago. A man said the same thing. First time I'd ever seen it in many, many years. But he said, God changed time. God can change time. Or it gets down Pauline again. Whenever you say something, whenever you speak a command like that, don't let the devil ever let you take it back. You know, if you tell the moles to get out of your yard, or the ants to get out of your yard, don't walk by sight, walk by faith.
I'm in my car.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Pauline commanded the ants to get out of her car, and they went, got right out of it, too. Mm-hmm. Remember what Adam said. Remember what Adam said. He said that the weapons that God has given to us are stronger than any of the weapons in the world. The power of God that's going to be manifest through His saints are stronger than any of the weapons in the world, including nuclear.